All right, thank you very much, ladies, for the special this morning. Our Heavenly Father watches over us, and that's kind of where we're going this morning. Today is Father's Day, special day, and we're thankful for dads, we're thankful for our fathers. I certainly am thankful for mine. I called him this morning. I don't know what it is about dads, but I'm starting to figure it out. As you get older, you don't sleep as well, right? And sometimes you get up early. And I always used to, you know, my father would say, oh, I was up 5 o'clock this morning. Then he had a nap at 10, another one at 12, another one at 3. I used to feel guilty for sleeping until 8 because dad was up at 5, but then he had 4 naps, so then I realized that's how it works. But I did call him this morning. They're away and at the beach. So that's his R&R place. And so I called him this morning. Some of them are on their way home today. I didn't know if they'd be up, but he was. It was 7 a.m. and he was out of bed. He said, oh, I've been up for a long time, he said. And so I wished him a happy Father's Day. I told him I loved him. And there's two things that come to mind when I think about dads just quickly. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, by the way. Proverbs chapter 3. One of them is sense of humor. You know, there is probably very few that have such a great sense of humor as a dad. Isn't that true, gentlemen? I mean, dad jokes are so famous that we all can't stop talking about them. We just love dad jokes. So I thought, why not share a few of those this morning? I am a dad, after all. And I got some real good ones. I don't think I hear any groaning yet. You know, a dad's sense of humor. Let me share just a few. Nicole's excited about these. Actually, Larry gave me a few of these jokes. They're really good. What did the horse say after it tripped? Help, I've fallen and I can't giddy up. I mean, that's gold. What do you call a well-balanced horse, by the way? Stable. A lot of dad jokes are very logical because we're wise, right? What do you call an angry carrot? Steamed veggie. That's a good one. Come on now. Where do polar bears keep their money? Snowbanks, obviously. Again, logic. We use logic. What do you call a pile of cats? A mountain. That's a good one, wasn't it? I ordered a chicken and an egg online. I'll let you know which one comes first, by the way. You know why? Or what do lawyers wear to court? This is another logical one. Lawsuits. That's what we wear when we go to court if we have to. And where, I'll end with this one. Where was King David's temple located? You guys should know this one. Yeah, exactly. See, a guy gets it beside his ear. His temple is located beside his ear. Thank you, Isaac, for your help on that one. Humor. Oh, I love that dads have a good sense of humor. We're just, people can't get enough of those dad jokes. But second to that, before we pray, is a dad's advice. You know, dads, fathers give some of the greatest advice. Like my father once gave me some really good advice. I remember we were hunting together and just kind of bonding like dads and sons do. And I saw a partridge that was under a bush, and I took my time and crouched down and bang, fired, and I got it. I was so excited. I jumped up, and my father had some advice for me. He said, son, before you shoot at anything, always warn me first that you're going to. And I thought, that's a good idea. I didn't want to scare the bird away, so I didn't let my father know. He was just ahead of me, walking quietly through the woods before I, bang! And he dropped down to one knee, wondering what had happened. Anyway, so fathers give good advice. And this morning, of course, as we honor our fathers, it's important, I think, to honor our Heavenly Father. Isn't it amazing that we can have a Heavenly Father? I love that. I love that my Heavenly Father gave me a father. You know, my Heavenly Father knows how to be a blessing to me. My Heavenly Father knows how to help me. Now, we understand we live in a world where sometimes dads aren't around very long. Sometimes not the way they should be. And of course, as men, we're not perfect. But we have a Heavenly Father who is more than able to make up the difference. And He'll teach us and instruct us and comfort us. He'll make us laugh. He'll make us smile. You know, the Bible says that there is weeping, but in the end there will be laughter. That there is weeping for a time, but joy comes in the morning. Our Heavenly Father looks after us, even as we just heard the lady sing to us. And it's so true. He gives us our provisions. He meets our needs. He's provided salvation. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much, the Bible says that He provided a way for us to become His children. And I think that's amazing. You know, it's not true. Sometimes the world gets it a little mixed up because the Bible is overlooked. and our theology or our beliefs come from country music and, you know, things we see on television. Don't do that. We find in the Word of God what we need to know about God, the very best. And sometimes we get a little mixed up as to what the Bible has to say. But the Bible says that God loved this world and that He wanted us to be saved from the consequences of our sin. And so He provided us a way not only to be forgiven, to be absolutely forgiven of all of our sins, to be righteous in His sight, but also to be made His children. God provided a way for us to be adopted into His family. He'll take us all. He'll take a whole family. I'll take your mom, your dad, your siblings, your cousins, your grandparents, I'll take them all. And I'll adopt you into my family because He is a loving Father. And He sent His Son to die on the cross, and He rose from the dead, defeating death, so that we could be forgiven, saved, defeat death, and become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also honor today, as we do every day, not just our fathers, but our Heavenly Father. And I wanted to talk a little bit from Proverbs about some of our father's advice. The Bible is filled with lots of wonderful things that we need to know. Counsel and wisdom. We could use the word advice, but I think it's even greater than that. And Solomon was a dad. And we see here in Proverbs chapter 3, out of, I think there's about 24, 25, or 26 times, we see my son, that two-word phrase, my son, my son. Now, in this passage, Solomon is not specifically addressing his son, but just in general, my son, is in regards to a reference to those that are younger who need some counsel and wisdom. So Solomon, who was the smartest guy, according to the Word of God, God gave him wisdom beyond everyone else. He has provided us with lots of wisdom in this book. And when we read the first two words of verse 1, my son, this isn't just for his son or any son. This is for all of us. And I love the fact that because this is God's word, this is counsel, wisdom from our Heavenly Father. So as we read this, we're not just reading about a wise guy, a smart guy that was giving counsel to his son. We're reading the Word of God, and through Solomon, God has provided counsel, advice, wisdom, and He wants us to know about these things. So I'm excited to share. Let me just pray, and then we'll carry on. Father, thank You for Yourself. Lord, we love You so much. We thank You that we can know You in this world. What would we do without You, without the knowledge of Christ, without salvation and forgiveness? Thank You, Lord, for walking with us, for Your patience, Your love, for salvation, through faith in Your Son who died for us. Father, we just ask that as we look at this proverb this morning, these few verses, that You would encourage our hearts. Allow us to leave here today with good advice from You, Father, that we would not only honor our dads, our fathers, Lord, those who are with us and those who are not, but also our Heavenly Father who provided us with families, provided us with wisdom and counsel, with salvation and with Your Word. So bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 again, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandment. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Some fatherly advice here in the Word of God right off the bat. I summarize it in this way. God is essentially saying to us, go and grow. Go and grow. What do I mean by that? Well, look what it says. My son, forget not my law. You know, one of the things that my dad would remind me of is the things he already told me. And he would say, hey, remember what I said. Don't forget my law. Don't forget my command. Don't forget my word, my counsel. You know, one of the hardest jobs I ever had to do for my father was one that we all, as men or even women, might have been familiar with, and that is holding the light. Anybody ever had that job where you had to hold the light? Yeah, some of you already know. I was terrible at that. I'd be holding the light. Next thing you know, I'd be watching a spider crawl up the side of the barn. Or my father, the light needs to be here. This is where I'm working. Point the light here. Oh, yeah, right. He would have to remind me. You know, the only job I had for years, even as an adult, that was my job. You know, guys would be fixing my electricity or my plumbing, and I would hold the light. But I knew how to do it as an adult. But my father would remind me. God is saying, look, don't forget what I taught you. The Bible is filled with wisdom, not from a teacher, not from a professor, not from a scientist, but from the creator of the universe. God himself has said, I have something I want you to know. You know what that does to me? That perks up my ears. God? Oh, I'm listening. You know, sometimes when my wife talks to me, I have to admit, I don't always listen. Because it might be like, help me do the dishes or something like that. So I tend to want to block it out. Not really, but you know, when God speaks to me, it's wise to choose to listen. He's giving me counsel, advice. And here he says, look, don't forget what I taught you. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. That's what I mean by go and grow. How do we grow? By holding on to the word of God, keeping the commandments of God. For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. When we disregard the word of God, the laws of God, the commandments of God, there's consequences. You know that God has commandments in his word to keep us safe, like a good father does. A good father says, you know, don't drive these race cars too fast. You might get hurt, right? Good father gives us advice to keep us safe, to help us throughout life. And that's what our God does for us. And he knows that when we obey him, we are safe. And we will add to our life long days, peace, those sorts of things. And this is our Heavenly Father's advice. Don't forget what I taught you. One of the best ways I find to remember different things is to write them down so that I can reread them. And I do it all the time. I have lists everywhere I go. I make lists. Lists on my bulletin here this morning. I list in my agenda. And it helps me remember. And God has provided me with a book filled with lists. Lists that are encouraging, lists that are comforting, lists that are directing or guiding me through life. And I have to be careful not to forget what he has told me. If I do, though, it's written down. Isn't that great? I don't have to, oh, can you imagine if you had to remember everything God told you? Just, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know, but don't forget it. Oh, man, I write down as many things as I could, but I'm not going to get it all. But instead, God says, look, I'll write it down for you. It's perfect. You'll always have it, and I will help you understand it. But don't forget it. And one of the ways that we remember is we continue to look at God's word. He gives us good advice, good counsel all the time. And it helps us go and it helps us grow. As we continue to read, it says in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. The Father's advice here includes be merciful. Hold on to mercy. That's a wonderful thing in this world to have mercy for people. I love it when I see someone just being kind, just for the sake of being kind. They're sacrificially going out of their way to be kind to other people or to show mercy to other people. You know, that's a godly characteristic. And it's a wonderful characteristic that our Father has. He shows us mercy every day. As a matter of fact, the Bible says his mercies are new every day, every morning. And that's a good thing because every day I use up all the mercy that I have. And the next day I need a fresh batch. And God says, every day I'll have new mercy for you. You know, that really is wonderful. So I hold on to mercy. And as my God is merciful to me, my Father, as a father, also as a Christian, I try to be merciful to those around me. And then it says truth, mercy and truth. Hold on to them. Don't let them forsake you. You know, we're living in a world today that is losing the truth. They're losing hold of it. Isn't it bizarre? It's really strange. We live in a world that we don't always know if we're seeing something that's true or not anymore. We look at the internet. We're trying to figure out now, is this AI? Is this real? What is this? Sometimes it is real, and we don't think it is. Other times we know it isn't, but sometimes we can't tell. You know, we live in a world that deceives us, that tricks us. One of the signs of the end of the world that Jesus talks about is deception, deception, deception. Be careful that no one deceives you. Well, how do I know, Lord? How do I know? Hold on to this book. Keep it close. I love you. I'm your Father. If you trusted in Christ, the Bible says he is our Father. And he has given us everything that we need to know, but we got to hold on to it. The truth of God's word. This is the advice that Solomon gives to us, his son, To those that read, to us here today, and this is God's advice, our Father's advice. And when we do, when we write them upon the table of thine heart, how do we do that, by the way? That's a funny thing. How do you write on your heart? Is there a special pen that you can get? Well, no. But what we do is we hide God's word in our heart. For example, if I was to say, for God so loved the, that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, what you've done there is you've written that truth on the table of your heart. Helps us to walk accordingly, keeps us from sinning against God, encourages us. It reminds us to hold on to mercy, hold on to truth, and that's exactly what we try to do. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding. How do you find favor? By holding on to mercy and truth. Well, if that's your character, if you're someone that likes to be merciful and gracious and loving, if you're someone that is honest and you hold on to the morals of God's word, people tend to appreciate that. They do. And we will find favor with those around us, not only man, but also God, it says, and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Secondly, this morning, in regards to our Heavenly Father's advice, I jotted this down, ask and last. Ask and last. Well, what does that mean? Well, when we ask our fathers for advice, things tend to go a little bit better. Things tend to work a little bit better. I can remember my father was helping me fix the carburetor of an old Pontiac Prigien that we had, and I threw a charge on the car. I guess the battery was dead, and I put it on the battery charger, and I started the car up, and it started, so then I went, and I shut it off, and I thought I was done, and my father said, no, you gotta let it idle for a little while, at least back in these days. Probably, I don't know if it's true today or not. I couldn't tell you how to do anything in a car today except maybe turn it on most of the times, but he said, no, you got to let it run for a while so the battery has a chance to what? To charge up. I didn't understand that concept yet. And he was like, oh, the alternator's got to get the battery juiced up again because I left the headlights on and the battery went dead. So I needed to understand that in order for this to last, you got to leave the car running for a while. And so ask and last. Sometimes we need to ask God for his help. We need to ask God for his advice. And you know what? It's really smart to do that. If you decide before you do anything to talk to God, I don't care if it's like Nehemiah just drops his head and prays, or the servant of Isaac who worshiped God right there on the spot, just right there, I love it, do it. If you seek to ask God, Lord, what should I do? God, what should I say? God, give me some wisdom, help me. That's wise. That's wise. That tells me you're wise. To talk to our Father is wisdom. To ask advice and counsel is wisdom. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, what our Father is teaching us here is, look, sometimes you're going to get it wrong, because you're not all-knowing, you're not omniscient, you're not omnipresent, you're not omnipotent, and you're going to get it wrong. You have a sinful nature. The heart is deceitfully wicked. So ask me. I'll tell you, I will never lie to you. You can trust me. And if you do with all your heart, you won't be disappointed. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, sometimes when I lean on my own understanding, I get frazzled. I'm trying to understand, God, why is this happening? I don't understand. It's chaos. It's confusion. I'm worried. I'm concerned. I'm doubting. I'm afraid. You know what? God, I'm just going to trust you. I can't control it anyway. You can do the impossible. You say you love me. You're my Father. You care about me. I'm going to trust you. And I'm not going to try to figure this out on my own. I'm just going to come to you and ask that you would do it for me. The Bible says that when we lean on him, when we lean not on our own understanding, but on the Lord, he will direct us in all our ways if we acknowledge him. God, help me in my spiritual life. Help me in my marital life. Help me in my life as a father, as a parent. Help me as a friend to other people. Help me to do well in my life. The Bible says that he will. He'll direct our paths if we acknowledge him in all of our ways. You know, one of the things that the Lord wants us to do is submit to him. We don't like that word. Submit sort of sounds like, you know, giving up, being conquered. And it's, let me put it this way. It's like having a bank account with $1 billion, but choosing to scrape a living off a rock because you don't want to depend upon the bank account. Well, we would all say, well, why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. You're suffering when you don't have to be. Well, sometimes we do that. We say, Lord, I'll just do it on my own. I'll figure this out on my own. I'm going to hold back in these areas of my life. You can help me with my health, but I'll look after my finances. And then we struggle. You know, the Lord wants all of us. He wants us to submit to him, not so he can conquer us and defeat us and rule us, but so he can guide us and encourage us and love us and introduce us to himself more and more. And so we ask and we'll ask. When I seek the Lord's counsel and advice, He will never give me bad advice. And that will help me continue on my journey through this world. My Father loves me. Our Father loves us. Verse 7, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In other words, it's good for us to fear the Lord. And I like to add this quickly. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It's not that we are shaking and intimidated like He's a bully or like He's a monster. That's not the kind of fear that we're talking about. But it's a reverence. It's a respect. And there's an obedience and a submission there because we know who He is. We acknowledge and we honor His position as Lord of our lives and as Heavenly Father. We say, no, I'm gonna do what You want. You deserve that. And that's what it means to fear the Lord. Verse 9, just quickly. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I jotted down, thirdly, we've got go and grow. We've got ask and last. Thirdly, give big and live big. Give big and live big. What does that mean? Well, in reference to honoring the Lord with our first fruits. In other words, God gets the first. God gets my time. God gets my resources. When it comes to tithing, when it comes to the things that I do, we give it first to the Lord. And when we do, He honors us for that. He blesses us for that. He provides, He meets our needs, but He'll honor us for honoring Him. Give big and live big. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. You know, that's what we're doing today. It's a picture, by the way. As we honor our dads, we applaud them. As we give them gifts, even as we leave here today, or take them out to eat, or make them breakfast in bed, all of these things. What we're doing is we're honoring our dads. We're saying, we love you. We're thankful for you. Keep it up. You're doing a good job. You know, dads today are under attack. You know that, right? So is the family. If you can destroy the man, you'll likely destroy the family. You'll likely destroy the culture, the civilization, the country. A house divided falls. The devil knows what he's doing. And we can honor our dads and strengthen them and respect them. That helps all of us to do that. And likewise, we honor our Father with the substance of our first fruits, whether it's tithing, whether it's our time, whether it's something in my life that God wants to yield to Him. We do that because He is our Heavenly Father. So we give big. And when we do, we live big. I love that we can walk by faith. We don't have to be afraid. Our Father has taught us that. I haven't given you the spirit of fear. That's not for me. I've given you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You can trust me. You can be confident. You can be brave. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. If God be for you, who can be against you? We've got speaker problems here. I'm not hearing them because I'm up here, I guess. Is that the ocean I heard or my microphone? It was the ocean. I did hear that roar, by the way. I couldn't tell where it was coming from, but I could hear it. It's not as loud for me back here behind the speakers. I can hear. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits. As we close, we got about 4 minutes left. We go and grow. We ask and last. We give big and we live big. And then finally, we learn and we turn. My Father would teach me things that I needed to know, expecting me to yield. Right? If he instructed me to do something because I did it the wrong way, He expected me to change the way that I did it and to do it the way that He instructed me to because it was right. And most of the time, I ended up doing that very thing. Not always right away. But I would turn. I would change directions, change the way I thought about something and do it the way that He advised, that He counseled because it was right and because it worked. And you know, that's what we do with our Heavenly Father. We learn and then we turn. We turn from our own wisdom, our own understanding, our own strength, our own ways. And instead, we look to the Lord God. Verse 11, it says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. What's chastening? Well, chastening is a form of discipline. And the Bible says that we chasten as parents. When we discipline our children, when we tell them to do right and not to do wrong, we correct them. We are demonstrating love. And that's a biblical concept, by the way. If I let them run rampant and do whatever they want to, God himself says, you don't love your children. Well, that's not true. I certainly do love my children, and I let them do whatever they want to because I love them. Well, what's going to happen to them? If you let them do whatever they want to, chances are they're not going to last very long in this world. That's not love. To give good counsel, because you want to see them live a good life. You want to see them well, happy, healthy, all of those things. And so we don't despise God's discipline or chastening. As an adult, I look back and I'm thankful for my father's discipline in my life. Even the day that I stuffed a couple of Archie comic books down my backside to protect me from what I deserved. he noticed. But anyway, the point is that he loved me, and I knew it every day. I knew it all through my childhood. I didn't always understand why he did what he did, but I knew he loved me. He demonstrated that. And as an adult looking back, I see the love, and I'm so thankful for it. God loves us. So he chastens us, he disciplines us, he convicts us, he makes us feel crummy when we disobey him or when we don't do it the way that he's asked us to do it. We feel bad about that. And that conviction is chastening. Sometimes it gets worse, by the way, if we don't yield right away, if we don't turn, then that chastening can become a little bit more severe, right? That's what happens. If I don't listen to my parents, next thing you know, a judge is going to do the job I wouldn't let my parents do, and now I'm in prison. It gets worse. And so the Lord loves us, and he wants us to correct our behavior so that it doesn't get worse. So we learn, and we turn. Verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he what? Correcteth. He corrects us. He doesn't just let us run around in traffic because he knows that would be dangerous. He doesn't let us do things that bring harm to us. He changes. That will hurt you. Think about Father's Day, folks. We're thankful for dads. We're thankful for God's plan for the family. I'm thankful for godly men. Look, I mean that. Understand, gentlemen, as we gather together here with our families, as we bring our families to church, that is one of the greatest things that you can do in your life as a man of God, to introduce and to continue to teach and instruct and lead your family before the Lord God. And to come to his house is one of the greatest ways that we can demonstrate that we trust him, that we love our Heavenly Father. It was once said by a wise man, as for me and my house, we will what? We will serve the Lord. And it went well for him, and it will for us. So thank the Lord for who he is as our Heavenly Father, and I'm thankful for dads today. Lord, we do give you praise and thanks for your love for us, for the many pages of advice and counsel and direction that you give to us in the Bible. So, Lord, thank you for the way that you look after us. Help us to be mindful, to follow your instruction. And, Lord, we just give you great thanks today that through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, you become our Heavenly Father. Lord, it's wonderful to know you. And so we honor you today as we honor all fathers. We ask that you would bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.